Good evening.
Oh.
I guess everyone's ready to go hit the bed right now, so let me try this again. Good evening. I'm still not happy. I'm going to try one more time. So, good evening. Awesome. My name is Satya Vail. I'm a program manager on the operations manager team. I own the UI from the program management side of operations manager. And with me today is Eugene Baikov. Eugene is our development lead, so his team owns the console infrastructure and the console experience all up. So his team owns the development of that. How many of y'all attended MMS 2012 in the Venetian last year? All right, seems it's about 80% of you guys. When we talked about dashboards in MMS 2012, we talked about it at a very, very high level. So we just introduced the concepts to a lot of y'all. And one of the big pieces of feedback we got was customers wanted some more in-depth understanding of the Ops Manager dashboarding capabilities. They wanted to understand how to extend these dashboards to kind of do some custom things on top of the dashboard infrastructure that we provided. And they also wanted some samples. They wanted to see, hey, you know, how can I go and extend this to build my own custom views and custom dashboards? So our session today is focused on covering three specific things. One is we want to introduce you to the Ops Manager 2012 SP1 dashboarding capabilities. I'm going to actually walk you through what we call the IT Pro dashboard authoring experience. And then Eugene is going to walk you through what we call the script-based dashboard authoring experience, which is really the customization and extensibility functionality that we introduced with 2012 SP1. So again, the extensions and the customizability of these dashboards is something we just started with this release of Ops Manager, and then that was something that we wanted to share with you guys today. For all the samples that we're actually going to be showing today, so these are the dashboard samples, the script samples. You can actually go and download them from this URL. So if you want to follow along as we go through the session today, this is a great kind of resource to go and hit up. Again, I have only 7 slides to present. This is a demo-heavy session, and I'm hoping the Mandalay Bay network connectivity plays nicely with me. So, how many of you guys here used Ops Manager 2007 R2? All right, it seems like most of you. We heard some when we released Ops Manager 2007 R2. We heard some consistent feedback around dashboards. People wanted some better visualizations on top of the data, and you know, dashboarding was becoming a popular theme. So no longer were people really using reports to visualize data. They wanted to use kind of real-time dashboards. And some key themes that came out of these dashboarding concepts were, and feedback was, one thing that we heard from customers was the R2 views that we provided in 2007 were really kind of limited in functionality and flexibility, and they weren't really rich in visualization. So that was a kind of big piece of feedback that we took in the product team and actually introduced what we call the IT Pro dashboard authoring experience, which I'll walk you through in a little bit. Another piece of feedback we heard from customers, especially the Ops Manager administrators, was, you know, Ops Manager did a great job of collecting a lot of data, and the Ops Manager MP did, you know, was really good at collecting data, but it's hard to visualize and correlate this information together. Right, so if you wanted to see the health of the alerts for your Ops Manager environment, you have to go to Alert View. If you wanted to see the health of the agents, you had to go to the admin space and look at the agent management view. So there wasn't really the single pane of glass to get information on the health of your management group. And one thing that customers asked for was to kind of reduce the TCO on managing your operations manager environment. So to help with this, what we introduced was the Management Group Health Dashboard. So this is our single pane of glass that provides you the end-to-end visibility into the health of your Ops Manager management group, which I'll demonstrate in a little bit as well. Another big piece of feedback we heard from customers such as y'all was Ops Manager gathered all this rich monitoring data, but they wanted a way to actually present this data to upper management. You know, upper management wasn't always going to come and log on to a console to view this data. And they were more familiar with, you know, the Office tools, right? So they were familiar with SharePoint and Visio, and they really wanted us to kind of bridge that gap. So to provide monitoring data in SharePoint, provide this monitoring data in Visio. And so again, Eugene and his team kind of did a big investment where with Ops Manager 2012, we now support a SharePoint integration and Visio integration as well. The last piece of feedback that we heard from customers was around the SLA dashboard. So we shipped in 2007 R2, we shipped these SLA reports that were there, and people loved them. But there were some key challenges. One was configuring these SLA reports was really cumbersome, and you actually had to hire a consultant to come and help you do this. And part two, reports weren't really the most attractive way to look at this data. So customers are starting to expect, you know, some rich visualization. They wanted to actually put this up on their NOC or their Plasma screen, kind of see whether their monitoring was healthy or not. And that's, again, something that we invested in Ops Manager 2012, was we actually simplified the whole SLA authoring experience, and we actually provided you a very simple way to actually create dashboards for your SLA. So you no longer had to go and muck around with your SSRS reporting to build your SLA reports. We provided you a really seamless experience. So those are some of the key points, or some of the key things that we did in 2012. I want to take a moment to actually demonstrate this to you in the product. So this is, as most of you are familiar, is the Ops Manager 2012 console. Going back to the first scenario, right? So the first scenario was I wanted a way to better set my SLAs for my reporting, and then I wanted to actually build some easy dashboards on top of that. So that was one common scenario that we heard from customers. So the way most customers went about doing this is they went to the authoring pane. You can see your service level tracking that was there. For this demo today, I created what I call my Contoso Order Processing SLA, SLA tracking. I provided a simple name for this. I targeted at a particular class. So what I did was I created a little simple group. I added all my servers and databases that made up this application and put them into that simple group. I then went and actually defined my service level objective. So for my order processing service, I said I want to see the availability for this service, and I need to meet the 99% availability benchmark. And then you went ahead and then simply created this service level objective. So now that you created the service level objective, what most customers would then have to go and do is to muck around with SSRS and build a custom report or modify the report to meet their needs. And this was really a cumbersome process that a lot of customers had to experience. We've really simplified this experience in 2012, and I'm actually going to show this to you in a simple example that I have. So the way you can do this is I have a dashboard MP called Contoso SLA Dashboard. You can go to the dashboard view over here. And one big improvement, as you can see over here, is we created what we call the service level dashboard. So we provided you an out-of-the-box experience, out-of-the-box dashboard template, where you can now go and create your service level dashboard. So I'm going to call this my Contoso. I can then go add my service level objective. So in the previous step, I actually went and created my service level objective. So I'm going to choose the Contoso order processing service level tracking. I'm going to click next. I'm going to click create. And what you'll notice very quickly is out of the box, within a minute, I've actually created a service level dashboard for my service level objectives. So again, if you guys were familiar with 2007 R2, to get to this point, you actually took you an hour to do something like this, but now you can do this within a minute, right? So really rich experience that we provide out of the box today to track the service level objectives for your different applications. Another common feedback, piece of feedback we heard from customers, and like I go back to my Ops Manager administrator, was they wanted that single pane of glass into the health of Ops Manager, right? And so one of the things that we provided was the Ops Manager health dashboards. And so we provided two dashboards as part of Operations Manager. Sorry, I picked the wrong one there. And so this is, again, another out-of-the-box dashboard that we provide that gives you deep insight into the health of Operations Manager. So what you can see here is it tells you the health of your management group functions, it tells you the health of the databases that make up the management group, it tells you about how the management servers are doing in there, and also all the relevant alerts. So you no longer need to actually go to the active alerts view and parse through the list of alerts that you had to find out which is the Ops Manager alert. This is, again, that single pane of glass that tells you about the health of the Ops Manager environment. Additionally, a key functionality, and this was a big customer request, is any of you large enterprises that have, you know, thousands and thousands of agents, once you updated or patched a particular agent, you actually lost track of which agent was which version, you know, how many of them were patched, how many of them are not patched. And with this simple view, we actually now provide you that deep insight into giving you that insight into what your health of those agents are, what versions they are, and so you can easily manage your management group. Another great view that we provided was we call the Management Group Health Trend Dashboard. So this is a dashboard where we tell you what the active alerts are over time, we tell you what is the health state over time, and so for here, for example, I can go and see that today we had about 7 alerts that came up. We had one of my databases actually went down, and so I had 7 alerts fire up. So again, kind of giving you the real-time view on the health of the Ops Manager management group environment and also the trending over time as well. Another big investment that we did in 2012 was around network monitoring, right? So we really, with our partnership with EMC, we really enriched our network monitoring capabilities. We wanted to actually help customers visualize this health of the network, the health of the network monitoring. And so for network monitoring as well, we provide you some key out-of-the-box dashboards. So the first dashboard I have here is what we call the network node dashboard. The network summary dashboard. And this dashboard basically shows you the top nodes with the slowest response time, top nodes with highest CPU utilization, and also the interfaces with highest utilization as well. So again, this great kind of summarized view that gives you the health of your particular, of your network devices and how they kind of being monitored. So in this example for here, I have this one device which is 10.193 that seems to be unhealthy. And if I wanted to actually drill down and take a look into what's going wrong in this particular device, the experience was really simple. So now we can just go and click through our task pane dashboards. We introduce what we call the network node dashboard, so you can click that. And what this view did is provided you a more in-depth view of that particular node. So again, from taking a 10,000 feet look into your network and monitoring environment, you could drill down to one specific device. And you again no longer had to go to multiple views to get this data. It's all provided in one single dashboard. So here, for example, if I wanted to see, okay, show me all the devices that are connected to one particular network device, I could actually quickly do that and see that easily. If I wanted to see all the computers that are actually talking to that device, I can do that as well. We've provided you out-of-the-box availability of this particular device. So this device seemed to have, was about 98.7%. Tells you some instance details about that particular network device, the response time that was there, processor usage, the health of interfaces on that particular dashboard. And as you guys probably noticed, was that dashboard was showing as unhealthy, and we have an alert that was generated for this, which you can then kind of quickly drill down, and basically this alert tells me that the free memory on that particular device has exceeded its threshold. Sorry, the one kind of key thing I forgot to actually mention here was, again, going back to the requirement of our customers requiring a way to actually present this data to their upper management, right? So these are folks that didn't want to actually log on to the console and see this data. We actually introduced our SharePoint integration. So, for example, over here, Over here I have my network summary dashboard that I just showed to you guys in SharePoint hosted here. So if if your boss ever wanted to go and say, hey, I want to see what the health of my network devices are, you no longer needed to actually go and give him the tell him to install a thick console. You could quickly just open a SharePoint page to see this. The same as for SLAs, right? So if you wanted to actually view your SLAs and provide this SLA dashboard in SharePoint, we provide this as part of the SharePoint web part that we gave in your environment. And say, for example, if someone wanted to get a more deep understanding of what a particular issue was, so it says, hey, it seems one node is down, but I want to get more deeper understanding, we actually provide you a very simple link here to launch the web console. So if you want to kind of take that, drill down into the environment and actually take a little more deeper look into what's going on, we provide you an in-context drill-down dashboard into the web console. So now that Ops Manager 2012 SP1 has been out for a while, we're starting to hear some kind of common customer feedback on the new dashboards that we ship. And really, the purpose of today's presentation is to talk to you about how we are addressing some of those feedback and also some of our plans in the future as well. So the one key piece of feedback we heard from customers was these IT Pro dashboards that we created. So the little experience that I walked you through, which is creating those dashboards, if you created a dashboard in a test management group, for example, it was very hard to actually port these dashboards to a production management group. And the issue that was there was when you created a particular dashboard in your test management group, we stored the GUIDs of the instance names in the dashboard MP. So when you actually imported it into a new management group, the new management group had no idea what those instance name GUIDs were and actually wouldn't work. So we actually recently released a tool called the Go-to-Market tool, which actually does some of this conversion for you and helps alleviate this problem that's there. The second common piece of feedback we heard from customers is they wanted to really try and extend and use our dashboard infrastructure. So a lot of partners have been talking to us about how they want to build some custom dashboards, custom widgets that they wanted to use, and actually, and really customize kind of some of the functionality that we provide out of the box today. And finally, they wanted to see some samples and documentation. So again, I know we haven't got there as far as samples and documentation, and today's session is really that first step towards kicking off this journey towards providing you guys more samples and more documentation to kind of enrich the dashboarding capabilities. So before we go into some more demos and actually talking a little bit more in detail about the dashboards, I wanted to introduce you guys to some of the common terminology that we use as far as dashboarding goes. And there's really three key terms to remember. One is what we call a dashboard host. The dashboard host is essentially the dashboard infrastructure. And what the dashboard host allows you to do is essentially write a dashboard once and have it work anywhere. So what I mean by this is in Ops Manager, when you author a dashboard, you don't have to worry about writing a different dashboard for the web console or SharePoint. If you write it once, it works anywhere. The second kind of key term is a dashboard template. A dashboard template is really a simple dashboard layout. It can be a 6-cell layout or a 4-cell layout or even a custom layout that you want. And this dashboard template is made up of one or more widgets. A widget is essentially a data provider. A data provider, for most of you are familiar, is a simple query that goes and gathers some data, does some basic processing, and this query is then bound to what we call a UI control. So a UI control can be a little line control or a bar chart or a pie chart. So when you bind this data provider to the UI control is what we call a widget today. And Eugene is going to talk a little bit more about how you can actually extend some of this functionality to build your own data providers and your own kind of chart controls as well. So as far as dashboard authoring options goes, there's really three options that we provide today. So one is what we call the IT Pro dashboard authoring experience. So this is using the console to author your dashboards. The second option is what we call the script-based dashboard authoring experience. And this is really building on top of what you do on the IT Pro dashboard scenario. So one thing that we've noticed is The majority of requirements that customers have, we fulfill through the IT Pro dashboard authoring experience. There are some certain tweaks that customers want to do on these existing dashboards that we wanted to kind of provide through our extensibility story, and that's how you can accomplish this, through our script-based dashboard authoring experience. So to walk you through a couple of examples of you know, when would an appropriate authoring experience be applicable to you. So for example, I came up with a couple of kind of scenarios here. So if you wanted to do something like creating an SLA dashboard for your workload, Exchange, AD, SharePoint, or a certain set of network devices, you can do that through the IT Pro dashboard authoring experience. If you wanted to provide visibility into your network, again, you can do this through your the simple IT Pro dashboard authoring experience. If you wanted to include or exclude specific metrics from a particular dashboard, again, this is stuff that you can all do out of the box through the IT Pro dashboard authoring experience. Now where the script-based authoring experience comes about is there's one key scenario that the script-based authoring experience allows you to do, which is if you want to build your own custom data provider, so if you want to collect your own custom metric and actually have it populate in a particular widget, that is something you can accomplish through the script-based dashboard authoring experience, which Eugene will walk you guys through today. So that is like the one big advantage that you get through the script-based dashboard authoring experience, which is kind of an additive to the IT Pro dashboard authoring experience we provide today. And finally, the custom dashboard authoring experience is, I think, mostly targeted at our partners, right? So our partners want to kind of take it one step above. For example, we've heard requirements where, you know, a partner wants to ship a dashboard that's kind of a Ferrari-themed dashboard that has, like, a very cool speedometer gauge and then shows you memory as well as alerts in a particular widget. To do something custom like that, you will need to do a little bit of C-sharp, write a little bit of C-sharp code to accomplish that. Again, from our conversations with customers over the last couple of months, 90% of our from majority of the customer requirements are fulfilled through the first two options. So again, the first two options will probably work for majority of y'all. It will fulfill the requirements of majority of y'all. The third one is really for partners that want to kind of extend and build some really custom experiences, custom and unique experiences on top of what we provide today. So I'm going to take a moment and actually now walk you through the IT Pro dashboard authoring experience that we provide you today. And I'm actually going to demonstrate the go-to-market tool. So this is a tool that actually helps you convert your dashboards so that they can work in any management group that you have. So the first step towards creating an IT Pro dashboard, you first need to create a dashboard MP. So you can do this through the administration space. You can, I think most of you are familiar with this experience. I'm not going to go through that. But for this example here, I created what I call my test dashboard. And the way you could go about authoring a dashboard for yourself is you can go and choose a dashboard view. Out of the box, we provide you some simple dashboard templates. In this example, I'm just going to choose a simple grid dashboard template. I'm going to call this Windows Server 2008 R2 dashboard. Over here, we let you choose a bunch of different templates. So if you want to do a 6-cell dashboard, you can do that. If you want to do a 4-cell dashboard, we provide you a bunch of different templates that you can use out of the box. For this example, again, I'm going to just use a simple 4-cell dashboard. I'm going to go ahead and create this. So this is kind of your starting point on a blank canvas of how you can go and compose your own custom dashboard views, again, using the console. So you don't need to have any knowledge of, any coding knowledge or any real development background. You can do this all pretty simply by using just the console. So this, for the example over here, is I'm going to go and click to add a widget. Out of the box today, we ship 8 different widgets. I'm going to kind of quickly highlight some of the key ones that we provide. So the alert widget is basically a widget that lets you look at alerts. So if you want to show alerts for a specific group or a specific object, you can configure and use the alert widget to show that. Another useful one is what we call the object by performance widget. I like to call this the top 10 widget, so it tells you, hey, show me the top 10 servers with highest CPU utilization, or show me the top 10 servers by lowest CPU utilization. That is something you can do with this widget as well. And finally, we have something called a performance widget. So if you want to look at a particular a performance KPI and look show this in a trending chart over time, you can use the performance widget to visualize this. Again, for the sake of time, I've actually gone ahead and created some sample dashboards over here. So here I created another similar Windows Server 2008 summary dashboard. And this dashboard, for example, shows you the health state of servers that are there. It also shows you the top 10 servers by memory utilization. It tells you what the actual values are, and you can kind of get the instant details of this particular issue. So one piece of one issue that I know a lot of y'all in this audience here requested is one of the issues that we had in SP1 was we didn't actually show you the display name of the top 10 widgets. So you actually don't, unless you have an instance details widget, you didn't know which target this actually was focused to. And we actually fixed this issue. It got shipped as part of the SP1 UR2 roll-up, which just shipped today. So this issue where if you want to see the display name, host name, I don't know, someone's clapping. So I know this is something that a lot of y'all had requested for, and I told our development team that I couldn't show up in MMS without having this fixed. So I'm glad this is ready. So if there's one kind of key action item after the session, go back and actually install this UR because you get this fix over there, along with some of other performance fixes that we have done to for Ops Manager 2012 SP1 as well. So this is a simple Windows Server 2008 R2 summary dashboard. And now there were two things that I want to be able to do with this dashboard. One is I want to make this dashboard, I want to be able to take this dashboard and actually import it to any management group that that I have in my environment. And another key requirement that we have from customers, for example, is they want to actually have these dashboards show up on a particular folder. So I created this dashboard in my test folder, and now when I want to actually have this show up under the Windows Server folder, for example. So in order to accomplish this, we actually shipped a tool called the Go-to-Market Dashboard tool. Again, this is a tool that you can download from the URL I showed you guys early on in this session. And what I'm going to do is actually walk you through this tool and how it lets you kind of accomplish some of those things that I just talked about. So this tool takes in a couple of inputs. One is it takes the path of the actual dashboard MP. So when you created this dashboard in your console, you can then export this dashboard out. And then when you run this tool, you actually point it to that particular dashboard. You tell it which is the management server name. So what this tool is actually going to do is going to connect to the management server SDK. It's actually going to take that GUID that's there in the MP, go and look it up and find out what is the actual object or instance name that's associated to it, and then replace it back in the management pack. So that's kind of what this tool does. And because I need to connect to my management server, is it going to ask me for my credentials? One of the things this tool also lets you do is create a task pane dashboard. I'm actually going to show you that in the next demo, so I'm going to say no for this one. And over here, it asks me under which MP do I want to have this dashboard show up to. So for the example I just told you guys is I created a Windows Server 2008 summary dashboard, and I want to have this dashboard show up under the Windows Server root folder. So if that's my example, the way I go about accomplishing this is I actually specify the MP that I want the dashboard to show up under. So in this instance, I want it to show up under the Windows Server Library dashboard, the Windows Server Library MP. And what this tool does is actually goes and queries that MP. It sees all the folders that are actually under that MP. So what you can see here, there's a folder called Performance. There's a folder called Microsoft Windows Server. There's this folder called Microsoft System Center Events. But I want this dashboard to show up under the Microsoft Windows Server folder. So at this point in time, this tool has actually gone and made this dashboard MP management group agnostic, and it's also now gone and set this dashboard so that when next time I import it, it shows up under the particular folder that I specified. Another scenario that we have from customers is the need to build what we call task pane dashboards. So these are drill down dashboards that they wanted to accomplish. So an experience is, if you wanted to accomplish something that I did similar to the network dashboard where, you know, I had a summary dashboard, it showed one particular node that is being unhealthy. If I wanted to build a drill down dashboard, you can do this with this tool as well. So in this example here, I created what I called my Windows Server instance details dashboard. These are the four key KPIs that most people look at when they want to troubleshoot a server issue. So it shows you CPU utilization over time, memory utilization over time, disk utilization over time, and network as well. So now what I want to do is I actually want to take this dashboard and convert it so that next time I select a particular Windows Server instance, I can then drill down to that instance and see these KPIs for that particular instance. And again, you can accomplish this with the GTM tool that we shipped as part of Ops Manager 2012 SP1. So again, in this server, I'm going to specify the task pane dashboard that I created in the UI. I'm going to specify the management server name. I'm going to specify the location where I want the output dashboard MP to be dropped. Once again, it's going to connect to the management server. I'm going to say yes to create a task pane dashboard. And what you'll now notice is it's actually gone and dropped the dashboard in what we call there's a C$ folder number 3. It's gone and actually created that task pane dashboard for me. So to actually show you this in action and not be a smoke and mirrors kind of demo, I'm actually now going to log on to a separate management group that I have. Just give me a minute while the session makes it through. So this is a brand new management group. It has, it's completely different from the other management group I had in my other environment. And what I'm going to do right now is actually go and import those exported MPs. So I'm going to connect to that remote server where I actually had so BigTuna was the server that I actually went and exported those MPs out to. We're going to import the Windows Server Summary Dashboard as well as the Windows Server Task Pane Dashboard. So now that I ran the tool, I'm going to actually now go and import those two MPs that I had exported into this completely new management group environment. Now this is done, I can actually now go into my Windows Server node. What you'll notice over here, so this is my Microsoft Windows Server node. You'll see that there's a new dashboard called Windows Server 2008 R2 Summary Dashboard. You'll actually now see the health state of the servers that are all inside this particular management group. You can see the top 10 servers for memory utilization. And once again, I can select a particular a KPI and actually get the instance details as well. So to prove to you that we actually fixed the display name issue, I'm actually going to go ahead and add the display name over there. So this is the path name. And what you'll now see is the path name for that particular widget there. So I know, I know this was a big ask for, many of you all. I wanted to make sure that we addressed it before I showed up at MMS. So that was the first scenario. I've taken a brand new dashboard I created in my other management group, imported it, and had it show up under the Windows Server folder. It can show up in any folder, management pack folder you want it to show under. And for my second demo is I wanted to actually show you the drill down dashboard. So here, for example, I have a set of Windows servers in my environment, and I actually have this one server that seems to be critical, and I want to drill down and look at some of those key KPIs that I had defined earlier. And what you notice here is I have actually now have a Windows Server instance details dashboard there. And now for that particular server instance, I can actually drill down and look at some of these key KPIs such as CPU, memory, disk, and utilization. So again, I hope the key things you're taking away from this is A, how simple it is to author dashboards using our kind of console to kind of author these dashboards, and part B is we heard about some of these kind of hurdles that some of the customers were experiencing with porting dashboards between management groups, and we wanted to make sure that you guys unblock these few hurdles that you guys were running into. So now we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about the script-based dashboard authoring experience, and Eugene's actually going to talk about how you can take this IT Pro dashboard authoring experience that I just walked you guys through and kind of build on top of that as well.
Hi. So basically, Satya talked about the IT Pro offering experience, and there are several limitations with that, where you can go and offer most of the scenarios that the end user need. But if you want to ship some like dashboards for the others to consume, or you want to go an extra mile and do some stuff which is actually not supported by IT Pro, you go to the next level, which is a script-based dashboard offering. This is actually our recommended way to go and extend the dashboard infrastructure. We actually use it ourselves for the in-house development, and 90% of the dashboards we actually develop in the operations manager team are actually based on a script dashboard offering. We rarely need to go and develop any custom control or anything like that, because there are only that so many controls you can have to visualize the data. Script dashboard offering actually unleashes the full capabilities of the dashboard infrastructure, and all the IT Pro dashboard offering, obviously behind the scenes, uses that the same techniques there, just through the UI which is built on top of it. You can do things like create a dashboard in the monitoring tree, whatever Satya just demonstrating. You can create a drill down dashboards. But with a script dashboard offering, you can also define a dashboard behavior. You probably guys saw on the SSLA dashboard, you select one node and you go to see the related data. In order to achieve that behavior, you would need to go to write a script. You can define the configuration for the dashboards. Also, Satya showed that in the dashboard when he was adding a field to it. That was actually using the configuration and personalization infrastructure. You can go and add data from various sources to your dashboard. That was probably one of the biggest asks, and that's one of the biggest feature we use ourselves, because as I said, you usually visualize data in a grid or in a chart, but the important thing is like where you get this data, what kind of data you display there, and I'm gonna demonstrate today how you can easily add your own data source provider using the PowerShell script, which you guys are familiar with already, most of you. You can also register using the script offering. You can also register the dashboards for that IT Pro offering experience. So this number of widgets and number of layouts which you saw that Satya was demonstrating is actually not fixed. As in 2007 release, we have a fixed number of views you can create. Here, you can go ahead and if you want to ship your own dashboard template or you want to ship your own widget and make it available for the IT Pro in the organizations to use it, you can totally do that. So let's talk about a little bit of how it's actually working under the hood. As Satya showed you the dashboard terminology, and most of that terminology is just used to describe things for end users, so that we have a clear differentiation between things. Under the hood, actually, all of the concepts are modeled as a component. So, and a component could be either visual component or a data component, basically component which doesn't provide any data, any visual representation. So, when you implement the component, you have two choices. You can either go and implement it using the code. That's where you go to the custom dashboard offering area, which we are not going to touch today. But then you would need to implement it for every platform. Satya was talking about dashboard host. We have hosts for different platforms. We have web host. We have Windows host. So basically, if you are doing that, you're implementing it for both. Or you can use a composition. And composition is that's what we usually do. And if you use a composition, you just reuse the components which are already defined, and then your components is just going to work in any on any platform. So that's a beauty of just reusing rather than creating your custom code. So when you talk about components, the important thing to understand the component is an item which has parameters. And on the next slide, I will show you how those parameters are used. So if you use, I mean, this is actually the dashboard we're going to be demonstrating how we're going to be building today. And the way it is defined is on the right, you can see that it is a dashboard, which is also a component which has a parameter target, and we can explain more where it is used. Then it, as you can see, it contains from a grid control, it contains from a chart control, and behind the scenes, we have a query. so, I'm sorry, what happens behind the scenes is the target is getting passed into the query, and that triggers the query to be executed. Then the query is done. What happens is that that output of the query varied to the grid input dataset parameter. And the grid displays the data automatically for you. So then the that dashboard is also interactive. So Grid knows when the user clicks on an item, it actually publishes the selection out to the one of the grid parameters, and that selection is passed to the chart, which displays the data in the chart over time. So let's see how it is actually implemented. So so the recommended way of building dashboards is don't start big. Like, go step by step, implement one thing, and then slowly add to it. So what are we going to see in the code? I will first show you how it actually works. I mean, we will start from a simple grid where we have three columns, and we will just create a free space dashboard which lists all the databases and their associated state and the free space for every database. So as you can see here, we are getting and mixing data from different sources, which is really common when you just read data from the instance space and the state of the data, and plus you associate some metric with it. So we did it through the PowerShell script. And if you go and see like how it is actually done through the PowerShell script, you have a simple script which, again, takes a DB engine's parameter. So I explain later where it is used so we can filter databases. So what we do is, in that script, we go and go a list of SQL databases, so actually an instances of a Microsoft SQL database, SQL Server database class. And depending on if the filter is passed or not, we were getting all databases, or we actually getting databases for only specific engines, which are passed here in a loop. So after we're done with that, we are building a criteria to get the DB total free space counter. And then for every database which we just fetched, we're going and getting the last value from that counter right here. So after we're done, we are just publishing the result to the script context return collection. And that's how, that's a communication channel between the PowerShell and the UI framework. So now let's see how we use that script. So first, let's go and see like how the simple dashboard is implemented. As you guys remember, it's a simple grid. So, and everything is a component, as I said. So first, what you do is you define the component type. So we just define our own component type, which is simple dashboard. Then the next thing we do is we put it under a folder. So this is like really same idea as you put any object under the folder. So we have we are referencing our simple dashboard, and the parent is the view folder, which is actually a management pack folder. So then the next thing you do is you provide the component implementation. And there is a keyword here, composite. So you're saying that your dashboard is actually a composite dashboard. And as you can see down below, we are referencing two components underneath it. It's a data grid and PowerShell query. Both of these components are pretty standard based on our standard data grid and PowerShell query, and we will look later what tweaks we've done so they behave the way we want. And when you use binding, as you remember from a slide when we said it was like one parameter is bound to another, it's a technique which is familiar from like any programming language if you guys which you guys use. You just define a variable to hold the result, and then inside the components you can see that you have a visual component data grid which exposes a parameter data set, and you just referencing the variable data. And the query does the same. You have a PowerShell query with output collection, which referencing the same data. So when you do that, what it does is it's behind the scenes, they use one variable, so when it changes, both of them react on it. So, and that's pretty much it. That provides that implementation. So then let's look how we use the PowerShell query. So PowerShell query is based on, again, is like similar, very similar things which you do. You first define a component type, which is PowerShell query. And then you provide the implementation for it, which is PowerShell query implementation for the database PowerShell query type. As you can see, it's again, it's a composite component. So we use the standard PowerShell data source class, which we ship, and we are providing various parameters, you can look at them, they're really simple. But the important thing is that that standard PowerShell data source allows you to specify a script. And there are three scripts which you can specify: initial population script, refresh, and request properties. So initial script is usually the one you always use, and if you want to improve performance, you can also specify your own refresh script. In this case, you can just do a partial updates to your query. In our case, we actually use the same script so to refresh as well, so when the refresh is going to be triggered, either manually or automatically from the console, it will execute the same script. Script is specified right here as a resource. You can see that this is actually a reference to a resource, and the resources are here. The database script, PS1, the one which we just looked at. Say it again. It is actually going to be packaged. So when the solution is built, it is going to be packaged inside the MP. This is just a syntax sugar on it. Yeah. Yeah, you don't need to do it separately. It's just a separate file. It's going to include it as a resource. Let's look at the grid. So grid is also based on the standard grid, which we shipped with the operations manager. And you can see it's like, again, very similar thing here. We define our own grid, but it is actually a composition of the grid which is standardly shipped right here, visualization library. data grid, we provide various parameters. The important one I want you to look at is how we define columns, because we saw three columns. I mean, this is a data and selected row, obviously, which we which you saw on a PowerPoint slide I was binding to. But these are the three columns which you define, which actually specify a display name. And here I want you to look at if you're going to be offering your dashboards, we always think about localization, because there are multiple languages, and it's very easy to localize, actually. We have this notion of display strings and language packs, and you can see here as a display name of a column, instead of just specifying a simple value, as you can see down below, we actually specify a reference. We include a reference to the display string, which is in a language pack. You can see here all your column names are here, database state and free space. So we're just referencing it here. And this is the important value, which is getting picked up by a script. So this value should match to the your script output. So these three columns are defined like that, and you can do as many columns as you want, obviously referencing whatever output you're providing from a script, and your dashboard is going to work as described. So this is a very simple one. We just provide the script, and you guys saw how what steps you need to take to implement it. So let's complicate it a little bit and do the next step of offering, where we bind that to the chart. So this is the same table which we saw, contains the same column. So the difference is now when I click, I see the chart underneath it, which shows the same counter, database free space, over time. And I can tell you right now that in this particular example, we are not going to be implementing the chart at all. I mean, we use exactly the same widget which we use. So as you remember, widget is a combination of UI component and data provider component. As you saw here, I didn't say that this one is a widget. It became a widget after you combine them, but since we implemented data provider and table differently, we basically didn't reuse the widget, we created one. So let's go to the code and see how that is implemented. For the sake of demo, I just copy it. I mean, you also have an ability to inherit it and just add it. But since we are building it step by step, I'm just sure how would your code will evolve. So we have the same component type, same reference to the folder. The difference is now our composite component implementation contains another variable, which holds the selection. So we can track it and react on it. That selection is getting passed from our data grid. As you remember, previously we only have one binding to a data set. Now we also bind into a selection and publishing that to a variable. And we added another visual element to that dashboard, which is chart. So, which is, as I said, we're not gonna go to details because this is just a reuse of our standard dashboard widget. So, and that chart is getting on its target property the variable. So the target is a special property every widget and every component has. It used to the React on standard UI selection and standard UI targeting behavior. So the target is mostly used for passing parameters plus for the auxiliary dashboard or like task pane dashboard. And the target is should be very familiar to you from the other concepts like targeting monitor or targeting view. So when you target something to a particular class, console just uses that information to display and like automatically pass parameters. So you can either use it explicitly as here, or it will be used implicitly by console if it finds a way to leverage it. So, and we use the same query here, so just to demonstrate you that the query still exists. So, when this is done, that's as much as you need to do to introduce a behavior to the to your dashboards, so you can interactively bind two widgets together. And you can introduce more complex behavior if you have multiple widgets. So, as you can guys saw, it's pretty easy actually to do. So now let's see how we can define the task pane dashboard. What do we need to do? What do we need to modify in this code so we can open that dashboard this way? So if I have a list of database engines, I want that dashboard to appear every time I select one in a that way. So we already did and implemented it and imported management pack, but let's see how you achieve that behavior, how you register your dashboard in the list of a task pane dashboards. It's actually also very easy. So again, here I copied the code and I added to it to make sure that the same dashboard could be either displayed in the list of dashboards, or it could be used as a task pane one. So the only thing you actually need to add, the only two things you need to add is first target. I just talked about target. Target is universally used inside the Ops Manager in infrastructure on different levels. In UI in particular, it is used to filter out and understand which components are associated with which objects. And see, and here, by including the target attribute to your component definition, you are essentially telling the infrastructure that every time something is selected in the console, and that type of something is correspond to the SQL Server DB engine, it can use that component. There is an important thing here, though, is that you see this in array brackets. So what it tells the console is that it should not only react to the single one, but it can also, your dashboard can handle multiple ones. And if you remember from a script, we've been passing this target parameter, and we've been going through the loop, right? So you can go again to refresh your memory right here. This is a parameter which is getting passed as target, and here you validate that you expect multiple, and you're going to go through them and get databases from all of them. So if your script can handle that, we actually recommend you always go and design for multiple selection, because it's just natural for users to see and react on multiple objects at a time. So as long as you include those brackets, it will work for single as well as multiple. If those brackets are not included, multi-selection is going to be disabled in the console. It will assume that you only can handle one. So, and then another important step which you need to do is you need to register it under the special folder, which is actually shipped in our MP, and this is the only folder where all the auxiliary navigation or task pane drill down components are registered. So as long as you put your dashboard under this folder and you specify the target, every time something is selected and the type is matched, console will show it on the right side. So the last thing which you need to do is you also need to register. Obviously, you need to react on target. I mean, we didn't have the reaction on target in our previous implementations. That's why we introduced a target parameter. We need to reference it in the implementation as well, and pass as a list of and pass as DBEngine's parameter to your script. So it's a special keyword target. So as long as you do that, so every time you select one, or if you select multiple, you also see that your dashboard appears, and when you click on it, the script will retrieve all the databases. And you do the same behavior. I didn't specifically point it out, but if you look at the code, which is going to be published at the location, Satya is going to tell you, the behavior inside the dashboard is the same. Like, we modify it to display multiple charts at the same time, so you can react on multiple selections, not only in the auxiliary dashboard, but you can also do it in your dashboard when you define behavior. So I hope that gives you an overview of where you can start from. As I said, there are more things you can do with it, but I hope you can realize the power, and Satya will talk more about what other things you can do with it.
So I know we went into a bit of detail, and it seemed a little bit complex, but one thing I wanted to kind of reemphasize.
Mic is
there. I think they can. Can you guys hear me? Yes, no? All right. So one thing I want to reemphasize is It is, I think what Eugene walked you through was seemed kind of cumbersome and complex, but it was actually very simple. And the reason why I say this, we've actually started working with some of our partners where they've taken some of these samples and they've built some real unique custom dashboard experiences using this sample. So I don't want you to walk away feeling overwhelmed about this. There are two things I want you to take away, right? One is, for majority of customers, using this IT Pro dashboard authoring experience will really suffice most of your requirements. If you want to do something custom, you can definitely use the script-based authoring experience that Eugene walked you through. And it really, I think, by taking some of the samples and playing around with some of the samples, you can really build some very unique experiences. So what I wanted to actually show and share with you is something that one of our internal partners have kind of taken some of the samples that kind of we shared today and built a custom dashboard for SQL Server. So give me 1 minute. I'm going to bring that up real quick. So our internal partners have actually kind of worked with us and come up with a new dashboard. Let me see if we can bring this up. Windows Server. So this is a new dashboard that the Windows Server, the SQL Server team is going to be shipping this later this summer. It's kind of taking some of this functionality that, you know, Eugene talked about of script-based dashboard authoring and kind of building on top of that and providing some rich visualizations from this. So, again, I don't want you to walk away feeling that, hey, this is going to be another complex experience. I want you to walk away saying that, hey, we provided you guys some samples. We'd love for you to try these samples out, and you can really build some custom rich experiences like kind of what's shown over here today. Brian, you want to quickly stand up? Brian Wren is our documentation guru, so he's going to be publishing a little bit more about these samples and providing some more documentation over the next couple of months. So this is our first step towards providing you an extensibility and customization story for dashboards. And one thing you can expect from us is over the couple of months is providing you more samples like this, more documentation, so you guys can leverage kind of some of the dashboarding capabilities we provide through OpsManager 2012. So key takeaways, IT Pro dashboard authoring experience is very simple. We would love for all of you to kind of start off by using the console authoring experience to kind of build your own custom dashboards. And then you can kind of build on top of that by using the script-based dashboard authoring experience as well. So again, I really appreciate everyone showing up today and staying past 5:45. I think everybody's ready to go hit the restaurant to get some food. So thank you for coming today. And again, this is a continued effort to build on top of our dashboard investments. Thank you. Eugene and I and the rest of the team is actually going to be here to take some questions. So feel free to join us at the podium.